I was driving on East Grand River one day when a sign in the yard of a church caught my eye. It said, White Privilege Class, Sunday, 9 a.m. The church was Plymouth Congregational. Curious about what a white privilege class at a church might look like, I went to find out more.
I think the white privilege happened on my desk quite by accident.
That's Plymouth's pastor Bob Heigl. After he finished leading a class about human sexuality and being open and affirming, he says addressing race relations felt like the next right thing to pursue with his majority white, majority elderly congregation.
It seemed to be a natural step in our progression of understanding our identity in relationship to God, but also, more importantly, in relationship to community.
White privilege is an issue that's being discussed more and more in recent years. But what exactly is it? What does it mean? I asked diversity expert and author Frances Kendall. She did not write the curriculum Plymouth is using, but she leads seminars on white privilege and even worked at MSU with its Women, Race, and Privilege group for 8 years.
White privilege is an institutionally granted set of opportunities that are given to those of us who are white, regardless of who we are or what we've done, access to resources, power, and opportunity.
Kendall explains that white privilege has roots in how our country was set up to favor white people. The GI Bill is one example. It gave all soldiers returning from World War II cheap or interest-free loans to buy homes and go to college. But because the country was legally segregated, black people could only buy homes in black neighborhoods.
The places where they could buy houses were places that banks thought were too dangerous and weren't good investments because they wouldn't sell again.
It's referred to as redlining.
Banks drew lines, literally red lines, around neighborhoods and said, we will lend money or give money to white people to live in all of these other neighborhoods, but we're not going to give money or to lend money to people who want to buy homes in those neighborhoods.
This set up a pattern where wealth either was or wasn't passed down to the next generation.
Many, many white families had the ability to send their children to college because of the first houses that they bought through the GI Bill and then sold, that they began to develop their wealth. They began to develop their ability to send kids to college. And that's not something that African Americans, Mexican Americans, Native Americans had, even though they had fought just as hard as my white family had fought in World War II.
And she believes white privilege is invisible to many white people because these systems are so deeply ingrained in our history.
That's one of the reasons that it's so hard for white people to see it, because it is worked into the systems, this banking system, the educational system, the governmental system, so that it just looks like this is how it is.
Pastor Heigl moved from Detroit to pastor Plymouth Congregational, and he considers himself progressive. He too sees the impact of privilege in our country's history.
The reality is, when you get beyond the surface, we haven't really changed much since the 60s. And if we can say that with honesty and integrity, then we can also say not much has changed since the Civil War. And if we can say that, we can also say not much has changed since we first began whatever we call this American experiment.
The congregation of Plymouth is just over 120 people, and a handful of members come to the class each week. The curriculum starts with an introduction to white privilege and ends with how to be an ally, meaning how white people can use their privilege to support people of color.
Most people don't want to go through the work. They want to just jump to, how do I become an ally? They don't want to work through the heavy stuff. They don't want to expose some of the difficulties with the assumptions of that come along for the ride if you're white.
The class involves testimonial videos of people of different races and backgrounds sharing their perspectives. This is Reverend Tracy Blackman in one of the videos.
And those who stand with people who are in need of solidarity are not the definers of whether or not they're an ally. The person who is in need of help, the person who needs someone to stand with them for or against an issue is the one who gets to define whether or not you're an ally for them.
Because the material and discussions can be challenging, Pastor Heigl asks the class members to use two words that he believes are very important.
The two words are oops and ouch. If I say something and it gets out of my lips, and I realize it wasn't what I intended to say, for whatever reason, that it's okay for me to say oops, and that you know that I wasn't trying to be intentionally mean, or that I'm willing to take that back. However, if I don't say that word oops, and you aren't understanding why I said what I said, you say ouch. And that gives me the opportunity to pause to say, oh, that wasn't exactly what I meant to say, but here's what I'm feeling, or here's why I said what I said.
Pastor Heigl says the class has been open to the information, but sometimes people struggle with it.
Because it has been assumed, especially within white culture, that we're all one people. What's the big deal? Why do we have to do this stuff?
He says many white people have been taught that it's right to say we're all the same, all equal.
It's very common for white people to say, I don't see any difference in blacks, whites, reds, yellows. We're all God's people. It's not a big deal to me.
Frances Kendall has also seen some defensive reactions in her discussions with white people about privilege and history.
The first thought is, well, I didn't do that. My family didn't do that. I'm just a good person trying to live life. Well, you probably are a good person trying to live life. This doesn't have anything to do with being bad people. It has to do with looking like those who set up this country and who set it up for us, for the others who are white.
No one from the class at Plymouth wanted to speak about their experience for this story. Pastor Heigl says they are making progress in the class, but it's not something the members want to openly discuss. It's sensitive, and no one wants to say the wrong thing. Kendall has seen that reluctance too, and she understands it.
It's hard for us to recognize that we are something that others talk about as bad, and people who have done bad things to other people historically. And I think that's hard to reckon with.
Plymouth Congregational's membership has been dwindling, so much so that they recently sold their building because they've undergrown it. They're starting a new chapter, and Pastor Heigl believes the time is right to tackle difficult issues like race and privilege together.
What I'm hoping comes out of this is a renewed sense of energy and identity through their faith in Christ that says, here's how we can address in our own little corner of the world some of the problems that continue to plague us. Some of these problems are innate. They're innate to our culture and to our society. But until somebody says this is not acceptable anymore, they're not going to get taken care of by themselves.
He hopes the class will provide new fervor for a congregation who's looking for a new sense of identity as they shape their future. For WKAR News, I'm Katie Cook.